Exodus chapter 28. There's another garment in its own right. Exodus 28 verse 8. Exodus 28 verse 8. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. Could you turn, please, to Leviticus chapter 8? This chapter you have the garments put on Aaron for the first time. Put on for the first time. Leviticus chapter 8 verse 7. Moses brings Aaron, and in Leviticus chapter 8 verse 7, he put upon him the coat and girded him with the girdle. That's a linen girdle that went round that inner tunic, and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him, and he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him therewith. Let us just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we turn to think upon this curious girdle, thou hast mentioned it here in Scripture a number of times. We believe it's here for an important lesson to us. And we pray, Lord, that thou would teach us the meaning of it. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. So we're coming to this strange garment called the curious girdle of the ephod. You see, it's linked to the ephod. The ephod, we mentioned, was that beautiful outer vest-like garment that was two clasped at the top, and around it there was a belt. Think of a vest like workmen would use, just open here, but it's tied. And then it says a girdle was taken, the curious girdle, and it was bound around him. Now, don't let the word curious sort of make it strange. It doesn't mean curious in the sense of strange. It simply is a word that means it was made with beautiful cunning or beautiful skilled workmanship. That's really what it means. It was those beautiful colors. And it's interesting, he bound it to him. And we have here the one that was round on the model. We did take this back. And this is just, of course, to give an idea, the different colors in it, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the fine twined linen, and of course the gold. This is gold thread. But in the original girdle, it was actual gold. It was gold that was beaten into plates and cut into thin wires. And it says they worked the gold into the blue, into the purple, into the scarlet, into the white fine linen. So this is the idea of the girdle. In fact, when you look up some Jewish authorities, now this isn't in Scripture, but Jewish historians say that it could have been, now this is amazing, they say it could have been 48 feet wide long. Now I don't know, I'm only quoting you what Jewish authorities say. It could have been 48 feet, well that's some length, isn't it? You say, well, how could it have been so long? How could you wear something like that? Well, can you not see in Leviticus 8, verse 7, what they did? It says they bound it. They bound it. In other words, they start and they wrap it round. Of course, my size, I don't like it round too often. But maybe Aaron was slimmer than me. And they would wrap it round and round and round and round, probably. And they would tuck it in. And you could see how that would bind the garments. You have the white coat. And they had a girdle of its own, but some days they only wore the white coat, or one day the Day of Atonement. You had the blue robe. You had the ephod, the breastplate. And so this girdle, according to Leviticus 8, 7, it's bound, so you can see it wrapped round and round, and then probably tied in. So the idea of what a girdle is, it's a wide belt. We don't know how wide it was. Maybe it was wider than this. We're not sure. But you're thinking of the curious girdle. Now, what's it all about? It's mentioned in Scripture. It must have a meaning. And you picture the model that we had. And this is wrapped around the garment that speaks of the priestly ministry. Three things I thought about thinking of this curious girdle. Three simple truths. Number one, it speaks of service. It speaks of service. You see, in Bible times and still today in some of the Mid-Eastern countries, you'll see men and women too, but you'll see men, they've got a long, very loose robe. And you'll see them walking down the street and it's just sort of flapping in the wind, very, very loose. Well, when they're going to work, they want to do some work. They don't want their garments flapping around. What do? They take the belt, the girdle, same word, belt. The literal meaning of the word girdle in the Hebrew is just something to bind with, a binding. We would say a belt, but it's translated girdle here. And even to this day, the men will put a belt around them. Why? Because they want to work. They don't want the robes flopping around. They're getting down to work. So when the high priest put this on, it's telling us that the high priest did a work. It took energy. It took work. Now, especially was it the servant's garment. The servant's garment. Now, obviously, I don't have time to turn to these verses, but over in Luke 17 and 8, the Savior talked about a master, and he said when the servant comes in, he would say to the servant, go, make ready wherewith I may sup or I may eat, and gird thyself. In other words, he says to the servant, right, up, time to work, gird yourself, put the belt on, and go and make my dinner. So the idea of a servant's garment. A servant's garment. And when we went to John 13, and of course, the day before he was crucified, he's with the disciples, and they're in the upper room. Judas, of course, is there as well. And in John 13, do you remember the passage that we read? What we're told in John 13 and verse 4, it says, the Savior riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and listen, and he girded himself. In other words, he wrapped a towel around himself. A servant's job. The lowest menial task was to wash people's feet. That was the dusty roads in those days, and when you came into a house, the host would get, and it was called the servant of the towel. The servant of the towel. When you became a slave, that's where you started. The lowest servant was the one who washed people's feet. It was his job to go and wrap a towel around himself and to kneel down on the floor and to take the guest's feet and to wash their feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And that was the job of the servant. And here the 12 disciples come with the Savior. And you can just imagine Peter looking at John. Peter thinking, my feet are dusty. I'd love to get them washed, but I'm not washing John's. John think, well, I'm not washing Peter's. Andre, I'm not washing his feet. I'm more important than him. And if you check out Luke's gospel, do you know what the disciples were talking about just before this? Because the Savior being God knew what they were talking. You know what they were talking about? Which one of us is the greatest? Which one of us is the most important? I'm more important than you. No, I'm more important than you. No, the Lord loves me more than he loves you. No, I'm closer to him than... That's what they're actually arguing about. Of course, that would never happen today, would it? They're arguing over which one of us is the most important. And here is the Lord, the King of Glory. Remember, even the curious girdle reminds us of the colors, doesn't it? Gold! He's Almighty God, the Lord, the God of glory. The blue, he's the Lord from heaven. The purple, he's the King. The scarlet, he came to be a servant. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself of the form of a servant. He said one day to the disciples, I am not among you to be served, but to serve. But to serve. And here he is showing this example. Now, we don't have time this morning, but it's a picture of what he was about to do at the cross. where he laid aside his garments of glory, as it were, and he went to the cross as a servant so that they could be washed from their sins. Wonderful picture. The most important work for which he had come. So there's an object lesson of that. But we're after this morning the fact here of the girding. It's a picture of his work. It's a picture of his work. And what we're thinking of here, that the high priest, he did the work. You know what's interesting? And I just challenge you to take a concordance and look this up. We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator. We mean by that is that he represents us to God. See, a high priest was a mediator. Remember the picture we had of the tabernacle? The holiest, only the high priest once a year could enter, and he had to go with blood of sacrifice. No one could enter into God's holy presence. It's a picture of heaven. Ah, but the high priest went in on behalf of the people. Christ represents us in heaven. But we say in the catechism, and we teach the children that he's our mediator, as our prophet, as our priest, as our king. Our prophet, our priest, and our king. You know what's interesting when you study the Bible about girdles? Do you know what's very, very interesting? You will read that a girdle is linked to a prophet, a priest, and a king. For instance, if you know 2 Kings 1 verse 8, talks about a man with a leather girdle. And some of the servants, they come to King Ahab and they say, "We met a man and he came with a message." What did he look like? He was wearing a leather girdle. That's Elijah, the prophet. The king knew who he was right away. He's Elijah the prophet. You remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist came and he wore a leather girdle. In other words, a mark of a prophet was that they would get a leather belt and they would wrap around him and people say, "There's a prophet." Our Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet. Over in the book of Isaiah, there's a prophecy about the coming Messiah in chapter 11. And in verse 5, it says there's a reference to righteousness and faithfulness being the girdle of his loins and of his reins. By the way, the word reins means kidneys. Do you ever read in the Psalms where it says the Lord trieth the reins? It's the renal. You know, you go to hospital, the renal ward. That's what it is. In other words, it says the king will put a belt around his loins, this part of your body, up where your kidneys are, and you'll wrap it around him. In other words, there was a golden girdle for the king. You remember over in Revelation, Christ, John sees Christ with a golden girdle from his breast down. In other words, a girdle is linked to the king. It's linked to the prophet. Ah, but thank God it's linked to the high priest. And we're thinking of this curious girdle linked to our high priest. And what it's saying is he's given to service, given to service. And it binds the blue garment that tells us he's bound to the service in heaven. Now, he bound himself to go to Calvary. That was part of his work as high priest. That was his part of his service. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take the goat and sacrifice the blood and go into the holiest. Christ bound himself to serve us, to do the work of our redemption. But the emphasis in Exodus 28 and the emphasis over in Leviticus 8 and 7 is the heavenly. Christ tonight, or today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, he is performing a service. We speak of the finished work of Christ. He finished the atonement. It's over. He died for our sins once for all. Perfect sacrifice for sin. But listen, he still has an unfinished work. And he works at it constantly and continually. And it's the work of the high priest. The girdle tells us he's going to be faithful to carry out the work. the work of praying for you, the work of supporting you. Remember, you're on his shoulders, the names. You're on his heart. We looked at that last Lord's Day. To sympathize with you, to feel for you when you're in your problems and you think nobody cares, nobody understands. Christ in heaven is carrying on his work of caring for you, of sympathizing for you, of supporting you. And we looked at the Urim and Thummim, and it's the carrying on his work of guiding you, because the Urim and Thummim were on the breastplate, actually inside the pouch. Can you see the work? His service. The curious girdle is telling us that he does it faithfully. Does it faithfully on your behalf. Do turn to this verse, for this verse is amazing. Turn over to Luke chapter 12 a moment, and this verse is absolutely astounding. Absolutely astounding. Luke chapter 12. And this is one verse I certainly cannot explain to its full. Luke chapter 12, verse 37, and this is the Savior speaking about his servants, speaking about his coming. Look at it. Luke 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Note this. This is Christ speaking. Verily I say unto you that he, now speaking about himself, the Lord, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, to eat, and will come forth and serve them. There's a man, famous man commentator called Bengel. He was a German expert in Greek. And he once said this, that this is the greatest promise in all the Bible. It's the greatest promise in all the Bible. How can our minds understand this? Christ said, if you're faithful to me, in heaven, you'll sit down and I will gird myself. And I will come and serve you. Can you understand it? What humility. What humility. What gracious provision in heaven. May you say, heaven is where we cast our crowns before him. And we fall at his feet and worship him. Yes, that's true. But the Lord said this word. He'll serve us. Well, back to the girdle then. You think of the girdle in the aspect of service, but then think of the girdle in the aspect not only of service, but of strength. Psalm 18, 32. Psalm 18 and verse 32. In fact, we could turn to many verses for this. This is the second lesson from the girdle. Psalm 18, verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength. Look down at verse 39. You have the same thing. See it in verse 39. You've got strengthening. Strengthening with the girdle. The girdle was bound around. I could turn you to Isaiah 22 and 21. Strengthen him with the girdle. The girdle. Now, boys and girls, here's something here. It's in the garage. I don't use it, but obtained it years ago. Now, some of you young men probably know what that is, don't you? No? You're all looking at me. I feel like asking how many of you young lads bought this when you were young. Now, you're still wondering what it is? Well, it shows not too many go to the gym. If you go and see the weightlifters at the gym, the weightlifter, the instructor will say, now, don't you be lifting heavy weights. You could hurt your back. You need to strengthen your back. You need to put on your girdle. Well, they don't call it that. It's the weightlifter's belt. And you'll see the weightlifters and you see them in the Olympics. They put the belt on and they put it on them like, and then it strengthens them when they lift the heavy weights. It's the belt. It's the same idea as the curious girdle. Can you see it? Can you see what the verse in the Psalms is saying? God says, I will strengthen you with my belt, with my girdle. And I'm saying the curious girdle tells us that Christ serves us as the high priest. But it tells us that he's strengthened to do it. He's strengthened. The girdle, when you look at the model when he comes back, And you can look at the model and that girdle. What it's telling us is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is able. Putting the girdle strengthens the back. You think of the load the high priest bore. The names upon the shoulders. Ah, you think that he's bearing the whole nation of Israel, the hundreds of thousands, he's representing them. You think of the heavy load, the immensity of the load of your sin, of your cares, of your needs, of your waywardness, and yet the high priest bears you up and prays for you that you will be kept from the evil one, that you will be sanctified by truth, that you will be with him where he is. You think of the load the Savior bore up upon his shoulders when he went to the cross, when he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. And you think of the burden even in the garden where he wept. You think of the burden where he cried strong tears. You think then when that night when he's there even washing the disciples' feet and the shadow of the cross is upon him. Because even as he's washing their feet, he took the feet of Judas. Do you know he washed the feet of Judas? And he knew those feet had already made their way to the priests to betray him. Yet he washed the feet. He washed the feet of Peter, even though he knew Peter later that night in a few hours was going to deny him. And all the weight of the forsaking by his disciples, of the betrayal by his close friend Judas, the immensity of the suffering of the physical pain of Calvary, and then when the sins were going to be laid on him in the hours of darkness, you think of the immense weight. Ah, but the girdle tells us he was strengthened. Oh, take a concordance and look up the verses that say, he is able, he is able. You see, when you think of the high priest in Hebrews 7:25, it tells us this, that he ever liveth to make intercession for us, he's able to save to the uttermost completely. We're told over in chapter 2 that our high priest is able to succor them that are tempted. When you go through the trials, yes, and the temptations that are fierce, he's able, he's able, he's able. Jude, verse 24, he's able to keep you. He's able to keep you from falling. He holds you up. That's a load, isn't it? And think of all those people. Think of the verse we thought about some months ago in the book of Ephesians. Remember Ephesians 3, verse 20. Where the great prayer and the benediction now unto him that is able to do. That is able to do exceeding, that is able to do exceeding abundantly, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Can you not see? This curious girdle was for strengthening. And we have a high priest who is able. He's able to meet every problem. He's able to provide in every need. Thank God he's able to save all that come unto God through him. If you're not saved, he's able to save you. Come sinners to Jesus, no longer delay. He's willing. He's able. Oh, look at the curious girdle. He strengthened himself to do the work of the servant. The high priest serves the people. He's strengthened to do it. Ah, but there's another aspect to the girdle. Another aspect, it has the picture of swiftness, swiftness. I just looked up this morning various references. I'll not turn to them for time, but you take the word in the concordance, look up girdle or girded. David girded himself with a sword. You'll read of other soldiers, they girded themselves with the weapons. What does that mean? They got the belt and they put it around them and they put the sword and they're ready to fight. They're ready to fight. The Lord spoke about a servant in Luke 12:35, and he said, let your loins be girded and your lamps trimmed. In other words, get ready. Get ready. And if you saw a man getting up off the chair and he goes and gets the belt and he wraps it around him, you know what you say? He's just about to work. He's getting ready to work. And when you see the girdle put on,
Ah, listen, Christ is swift to work. God spoke to Job twice. Remember Job, all the trials he went through. In Job 38 and 3, God commanded Job, gird up thy loins like a man and get ready to answer me. In other words, God says, Job, you get ready. I have some questions to ask you. So when you look at the girdle, it's telling us our Savior is ready. He's ready to help. You don't have to worry. You don't have to say, well, I wonder, will Christ have time for me? I wonder, am I bothering him? He's swift to help. Just the time I need him, he's always near. Remember the children of Israel in the night of the Passover? You were to eat the Passover, how? With your loins girded, ready to go. Our Savior, as the high priest, is always swift. Turn over to Luke 22. There's a wonderful example of this, of what I mean. Luke 22. I'm thinking here of the swiftness of his ministry as high priest to help you. Now, in Luke 22, by the way, it's the same night, same time when he's with the disciples in the upper room washing their feet. And this is a little bit more of the story. Luke 22 and go to verse 32. We'll read verse 31 for the context. The Savior says in Luke 22, 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. By the way, it's plural there. He wanted all the disciples. That he may sift you as wheat. Satan's got his attentions on you, Peter. Now watch this next verse. Watch it in verse 32. But I will pray for you. Doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? But I have. And I assure you the sense of it is, Peter, Satan later on tonight is going to come and tempt you, but I have already prayed for you that your faith fail not. By the way, you may think, well, he did fail, didn't he? No, his faith didn't fail. Oh, yes, he failed in the sense he denied the Lord, but he didn't go out and hang himself the way Judas did. His faith was kept because the Lord prayed for him. Can you see the swiftness here? Even before Satan comes to tempt Peter, the high priest has already prayed for him. Isn't that wonderful when you get into a trial, and it may be a sickness, it may be a sudden tragedy, it may be a fierce temptation of Satan coming against you. Christ has already prayed for you. And just the time you need him, he'll be there. He's a faithful and merciful high priest. He's not like Eli. Eli was a high priest in the days of Hannah. Remember Hannah came? And she's just praying, her lips are moving, there's no voice. You know what he said? There's a drunk woman. Aye. He had no compassion. He had no mercy. He had no understanding of that troubled lady's broken heart. But oh, Christ is able. He's able. And he's always swift to help you. Now, if you really believe that this morning, and you see that this girdle represents his service for you, the strength of a service for you, the swiftness of a service, he'll always be there just the time you need him. What difference will it make? Remember our theme text, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest. Do you see him? He's passed into the heavens. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us take up the girdle, as it were. Let us find ourselves to be faithful. Let us experience the strengthening of God so that we will be strong in serving him. Ah, let us be swift when there's a need. And how do you serve the Lord? You serve the Lord by serving his people. That's how you do it. Sometimes people have this idea, oh, I'd love to be a servant of the Lord and do something mighty and great. Well, you serve the Lord by serving his people. You serve the Lord by serving his people. Christ said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And in John 13, the passage you read earlier, Christ said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. That may not be literally washing feet. It may not be literally washing feet. In America, some churches have foot washing ceremonies, just a few denominations, and every year at this time of year, they have a communion service near what they call Good Friday or whatever, and they actually have a foot washing ceremony where some of the leaders and the elders and the deacons wash some of the congregation's feet. But you know something? Everybody gives their feet a good wash before they come. First Timothy 5, Paul talked about widows who had washed the disciples' feet. No, it's a principle. It's an example of caring for others, caring for others. That's what it's talking about, caring for other people in the little things, in their needs, visiting, taking care, praying for them. I think of that passage I was reading, and remember Peter was in jail in Acts 12 and he was sleeping. It says an angel came and smote him. Wonder how hard he hit him. Some people would have to hit you hard to waken you up if you're fast asleep. It says an angel came of the Lord and smote him. And he says, arise, gird thyself. In other words, let's get going. Let's get going. And what a message for us as Christians to get up and get going. We're to wake up. We're to be swift. We're to be swift. I'm sure some of you have the little plaques. Maybe you're visiting Scotland and you see the little mottos of your name. If you happen to have a Scottish name, we had ours some years ago, or it might have been my father got it, and then we took it and so on. It has Johnston and it's in Latin, never not prepared, or never unprepared, you would say it. That's supposed to be the Johnston clan name, the motto. Never unprepared. Think of the Boy Scouts. Maybe some of you were in the Boy Scouts. Isn't it? Be prepared. Be prepared. The Canadian Navy, or the, was it Sea Adventures or Sea Scouts? It's ready, aye, ready, aye. That's the motto. We're always ready. Always ready. That's what we ought to be if we realize we have a great high priest. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Years ago in the Conservative Baptist Seminary in the United States, at a graduation ceremony, quite a number of decades ago, the man who was preaching at the graduation ceremony of missionary and pastor students, every time someone came forward to the platform to get a diploma, he had cut up a towel, and he'd cut it into pieces, and everybody came up, he gave them their diploma, and he said, there's a piece of towel. Always remember the Savior washed the feet, and you're, if to serve him, you're to wash other people's feet. One missionary wrote decades later that I still carry it in my wallet, just that little bit of a towel cut up. And he said, when I see it in my wallet, it's got grubby over the years, tattered, but it reminds me of the Savior who served, and that I am to be a servant of others. Now, there's some seminaries, I'm told, in America I've read, they give out a beautiful towel with John 13 written on it. You know, something they could hang up and look, well, nothing wrong with that, as long as it reminds you that it's not just to hang there. We're to go out and kneel down before others and serve them. And by doing that, we're serving our high priest who has done so much for us.